You're very welcome back to the programme. The GSOC controversy ploughs on. The Cabinet met this morning and decided that a retired High Court judge would review the information available over an 8-week period. That's about as much as we know at this point because the terms of reference, the powers available to the judge, have not yet been published. This is what Enda Kenny told The Dáil this afternoon.
The Minister for Justice briefed the Cabinet on the events that have occurred in the GSOC controversy following on from the Committee on Investigations hearing last Wednesday. The Minister briefed the Cabinet in relation to further information and documentation received from GSOC since and further technical information that he has received regarding the alleged surveillance of GSOC. And in the light of all of that information and his briefing today, the Cabinet decided to appoint a retired High Court judge to review all of these papers, all of the reports, completely independently, and to inquire into all matters of relevance there.
But Sinn Féin's deputy leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, had many questions.
Why is it, Taoiseach, that it is the Minister for Justice who has set those terms of reference? He's hardly covered himself in glory throughout this episode. What will the powers of that judge be in respect of this inquiry? What will their access be to the systems and documents of An Garda Síochána? And will that judge have available to him or her a panel of experts with the kind of expertise to read, to understand and to interpret technical data and matters around surveillance? And finally, Taoiseach, why is it that you would ask this judge to report back to the Minister for Justice? Given that GSOC is accountable in the first instance to the Oireachtas, is it not more appropriate that the judge, following the full inquiry, such as I've outlined, reports back here to the Houses of the Oireachtas?
Thank you.
Well, speaking within the past 2 hours during a Sinn Féin private member's motion on the issue, the Justice Minister, Alan Shatter, defended his statement to The Dáil last week. He repeated that he had based his statement entirely on the briefing by GSOC. And he commented on today's report in the Irish Independent that the breach of GSOC's Wi-Fi had originated in the Insomnia Cafe downstairs, a report rubbished by the security company Verimus, which carried out the sweep of GSOC's building. Alan Shatter said that he had the Verimus conclusions reviewed by an Irish security firm, Ritz, and he went on to rule out a wider group of suspects.
In reply to an inquiry from one of my officials in the Department of Justice, GSOC advised this morning that the business premises referenced is an Insomnia cafe shop within a Spar outlet on the ground floor of the building occupied by GSOC. It advertises Wi-Fi availability for customers and connectivity to BitBus. I am unaware of any credible information that surveillance is being or has been conducted on GSOC's offices by any of the customers of Insomnia. It is, of course, a matter of concern to me that this full information was not supplied to me prior to the Dáil debate on Tuesday last, nor given to the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Wednesday last. Before this comment is used to accuse me again of trying to undermine GSOC, I want to reiterate that it is my only objective to ensure that the truth is known about all of these matters. The report mentioned earlier that I received from Ritz gives as an opinion, based on the reports provided to Ritz, that, and I quote, there is no evidence of any technical or electronic surveillance against GSOC. That is, no evidence at all, not merely no definitive evidence. This report also disputes other conclusions reached by Verimus. I appreciate that GSOC relied on the reports it received from the security company it contracted. I cannot ignore the report I received from the company asked to conduct a peer review of the technical documentation furnished by GSOC to me and the information accompanying it. Having regard to the differences that have arisen, the additional information I've received since I made my first statement to the Dáil, the ongoing nature of this controversy, its debilitating impact on the capacity of GSOC to get on with its work, and the continuing overhang of suspicion of the Gardaí, voiced by some, despite the conclusions of GSOC that the Gardaí nor any member of the Gardaí was engaged in misconduct, I concluded that it was important to do what is possible and reasonable to bring an end to ongoing controversy. I briefed Cabinet this morning on developments that have occurred in relation to this matter, following on from the hearing last week of the Joint Committee on Public Service Oversight and Petitions. Gave the Cabinet my assessment of the potential damage to both GSOC and the Garda Síochána, and more widely to public confidence in the enforcement of law from the character of the current debate on surveillance concerns. It was clear to me that it was necessary to provide a structure for all issues of controversy to be addressed with calm and reason. I, of course, briefed the Cabinet on all the information at my disposal. In the light of the briefing and in the light of my concerns, myself and my Cabinet colleagues agreed to the appointment of a retired High Court judge to inquire into all matters of relevance to the controversy that has arisen. Up to Friday last, it was my view that GSOC had inquired into these matters and reached a conclusion, and the calls for an inquiry could be seen as undermining the public credibility of GSOC and a rejection of the conclusions it reached in its own investigation, in the investigation it undertook. No such inquiry calls have in the past been made when GSOC has concluded following an investigation that there have been instances of Garda misconduct. It seemed to me highly inappropriate to hold an inquiry in circumstances where GSOC has concluded that there was no evidence of Garda misconduct. However, the manner in which this controversy has continued, the new information I've received, the need to bring absolute clarity insofar as that is possible to all these matters led me to the view that it is in the public interest that a retired High Court judge undertake the task agreed by Cabinet.
That was the Justice Minister, Alan Shatter, speaking in the Dáil a few hours ago. With me in studio tonight are Fine Gael TD and member of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, Alan Farrell, Fianna Fáil Senator Thomas Byrne, who will be part of the Oversight Committee, who will question Alan Shatter tomorrow, Human Rights Solicitor Michael Finucane, and John Devitt, who is Chief Executive of Transparency International Ireland. You're all very welcome indeed. Alan Farrell, I'll start with you. We have heard ad nauseam from Alan Shatter over the past 9 days that GSOC investigated this. They decided not to pursue anything any further. They decided they ruled out any need for any further investigation. So why this apparent U-turn today?
First and foremost, I wouldn't call it a U-turn at all. The decision by the Cabinet this afternoon to constitute a review of the various reports provided to the Minister by GSOC, and indeed his own report that he commissioned, which he mentioned this evening and was just covered there in your snippet, specifically refers to new information. The new information, in tandem with the fact that a critical institution like GSOC was having its public image tarnished, necessitated public confidence being put back into the institution. And in order to do that, it was felt that the best course available was to bring on board a retired High Court judge, whom the name of whom we will find out shortly, I would imagine over the next day or two. The terms of reference, which are being dealt with by the Attorney General's office this evening and indeed tomorrow, and we expect that information again to be provided into the public domain at some stage tomorrow. And in doing that, it is hoped that we will be able to restore public confidence in what I said is an extremely important critical oversight institution of our state. I really do refute it. In fact, I spotted it on my way over here. Katie Hannan, whom I believe is on prime time this evening, used that term U-turn, and I do not accept that at all. It is not a U-turn because it's based on new information that was only provided to the Minister on Friday when new information was provided by GSOC. As was mentioned by yourself and by the Minister, a new firm, an Irish peer review security firm called RITS, or ITS, were engaged to conduct a review of the information provided by GSOC and indeed the report provided by Verimass, which of course was forwarded on by GSOC themselves. That peer review concluded that, as the Minister stated, that there was no basis upon which to have any concern with regard to alleged bugging or anything like that. Hmm. He also went into detail as to the specific complaints in the original Verimass report specifically regarding the Wi-Fi, which was allegedly accessing the GSOC Wi-Fi, which of course was a secured connection, but it had no unsecured information in it, and that it transpired that this was BitBuzz in the Insomnia Cafe in the ground floor. It also went into some detail with regard to the mobile phone. The UK mobile phone, I think they're called a sniper or something to that effect, which is effectively a small broadcasting hub. In this case, it was a UK 3G network.
Okay.
But that was found to be of no relevance, and in fact it was refuted in the Ritz report and by the Minister this evening that that was somehow only available to governments as a piece of technology. In fact, it's available online, I understand, and that was also put to bed, so to speak.
Okay, let me bring in Thomas Byrne at this point. Thomas Byrne, does that stack up to you?
Oh, not at all, no. I mean, I have so many questions arising out of all of this, and I didn't hear all of the minister's speech. Unfortunately, I was in Navan, and I was driven up. And I mean, is this a review or an inquiry? First of all, if it's an inquiry, what powers does it have? I mean, is it? I don't know what type of an inquiry has powers other than an inquiry under a tribunal or a commission of investigation. I mean, otherwise, it's. You could just look at the stuff yourself that's in the newspapers or in the media and make your own conclusions.
Well, the Taoiseach has called it a review.
Well, that means absolutely nothing in my book. Absolutely nothing whatsoever.
What do you mean nothing? Nothing legally? No legal standing?
Well, I can't see how it has. I mean, it's one person's opinion. I mean, we have proper structures in the state for investigating these matters, whether it's a tribunal
or
no one.
What are we investigating, Senator?
Well, you're the one that started the review. We've called for an independent investigation.
Yes, on what basis, though?
It was called an inquiry, okay? Now, you've described it as a review tonight.
Correct, I have.
I mean, that's my first question, OK?
Well, on what basis, what will we be inquiring into is the question that we've been asked for the last 9 days.
Yeah, what's happening?
GSOC and Verimass and Ritz have all said are largely the same thing.
Well,
particularly Ritz and GSOC themselves.
Well, I've never heard of Ritz
that
today.
There was no requirement
for a review
because there was nothing there to investigate.
OK. That's not what GSOC have been saying. It's certainly not what Verimass have been saying today.
Verimass has said that, and
I haven't been, you know, following all their tweets, but they've been very active on Twitter for this type of company to be tweeting refutations of newspaper articles. I had never heard of Ritz till this evening. This has been brought into the debate this
evening. Never heard of Verimass before last week.
No, neither did I. But I mean, the point is, this has all been on in the last week. There's a whole load of new assertions have been put in. Quite frankly, I think the whole issue of the Spire and the Insomnia, I'm not sure what relevance that is, because we always knew, I think, it was an outside Wi-Fi network. I don't think it particularly matters where. The point is, I'm not even interested in the detail of this because I want an investigation to find out that. Nobody's mentioned the telephone line that rang in the early hours of the morning either. I didn't hear that the Minister have an answer for that tonight, or did Ritz have an answer for that. There's been so many issues. We go back to the start of this and this was leaked. What was the immediate reaction from the government? The immediate reaction was the Taoiseach, who said GSOC must level with the Minister. The Minister called them in. I think it was a mistake for GSOC, in fact, to accept that calling in. They should not have allowed themselves to do that, because in my view it was absolutely unlawful and an interference with the independence of GSOC to bring them into government ministers in that manner.
I'm sorry,
Audrey. Also, I think it was a mistake. It was a mistake to start the committee process. The Garda Síochána Act makes GSOC, I think, accountable to the PAC for that type of, for money, etc., and accountable to other committees for administration purposes, not accountable for the decisions that they made. And I think that was wrong to bring that, to start that political ball rolling on that as well. There should have been, from day one, an independent investigation into this outside of politics to find out what was going on.
So this review is worthless in your
view? Well, look, I have so many questions. I mean, if I'm told it's a commission of investigation, if I'm told it's a tribunal, there are a number of powers under the Garda Síochána Act, I don't think they're particularly relevant here, but at least there would be power to bring everybody in. I mean, Verimass is an English company, as I understand it. Are they going to be part of this inquiry? Are they liable?
Just
are they
briefly
well, very briefly, Audrey, I just want to make it very clear here. The 2005 Garda Síochána Act, Section 102, has a statutory requirement for the GSOC, the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, to report directly to the Minister for Justice any investigation under three headings. The first one is that, they must report under all circumstances except under three headings. And this is, remember, it's 2005. It was the Fianna Fáil government that created the act.
I mean,
with the greatest respect, Thomas, you should know.
What your interpretation
There's nothing to dispute.
Fianna Fáil for this when your government is in a mess over the last week, it's an absolute outrage.
Let's remember, this is your act. you weren't personally in the Dáil at the time.
But I'm happy with the Act.
But in 2005,
you're completely misinterpreting the Act.
Section 103 states that the report must be furnished when it is of national interest, that it is pursuant to Section 103 of the Garda Síochána Act 2005. The only other circumstances in which it must not be reported to an Garda Síochána, from my recollection, was that if it's in regards to an ongoing court case, whether the GSOC believe it would be detrimental to such a case, and most importantly, as whether or not it actually constitutes a matter of public interest. This is the reason why the chairman of GSOC said on prime time last Tuesday evening, and it was repeated at the Joint Committee of Oireachtas Investigations and Oversight and Petitions, stated quite clearly that they should have made the report known to the minister at the time. And they have made that, and nobody has refuted that. So I really don't understand.
Okay, I just want to get back to the focus of what we're talking about tonight. The review that was announced today, we don't have any more detail on that. John Devitt of Transparency International, what's your view on this?
I wouldn't agree with Alan Farrell in his assertion that this matter is being put to rest after the minister's speech this evening. There are, as Thomas Byrne has said, a number of questions that remain to be answered. I've never known a security consultant, and we've consulted or been briefed by security consultants in the past, to mistake a public Wi-Fi with a serious threat to an organisation. Very much have refuted the Irish Independent story today. And the minister is undertaking this review or commissioning this review mainly because there are questions to be answered. The matter has not been put to rest. There are still concerns around surveillance. GSOC made it clear that they believe they were under surveillance, and the reasons why they believed they were put under surveillance need to be investigated.
So will this review get to that? What needs to happen with regard to this review?
Well, firstly, it needs to look at the reasons why GSOC believed they were under surveillance. It needs to look at the safeguards in place at GSOC. It needs to look at the protocols in place at Phoenix Park and the crime and security branch there, which is generally responsible for surveillance. And it needs to look at the opportunities and motives for any surveillance of GSOC. A peer review of the documentation produced by Vermas is only going to tell you so much. You're not going to find all that much more than you will by interviewing personalities who would have had a stake in surveilling the Ombudsman's office. I would suggest it needs to be undertaken as a commission of investigation, partly because a ministerial appointed judge, irrespective of how respected that judge is, will not have powers of compellability. They won't be able to call evidence. They won't be able to interview senior Gardaí. And there is no guarantee that what they produce will be shared with the wider public. The report may go to the minister, and the minister may digest and filter that information which he decides to share with the Oireachtas. It's rather odd that the minister is taking it upon himself to appoint a judge to undertake this review, as it's called. And I think public confidence would go much further to restore public confidence in both the Ombudsman and Garda Síochána if they knew that there was a commission of investigation undertaking this review.
And Michael Finucane, this, as far as we know at this stage, is not a commission of inquiry. It doesn't amount to an independent inquiry.
Well, it's independent, I suppose, in the sense that the retired judge is not a member of government, not a member of the Dáil, doesn't belong to GSOC, and isn't a guard. But that's really as far as it goes. And I think whether you agree with the terminology U-turn or not, I think no one can deny that the necessity for the appointment of the High Court judge is because over the course of the last number of weeks, conflicting and contradictory accounts have come into the public domain from all of the actors in this drama. That includes GSOC, that includes the Gardaí, It includes the Commissioner of the Gardaí, and it includes the Minister. And I suppose what's troubling about the government's response is that it's the Minister who's going to appoint the judge, give the judge terms of reference within a very limited mode of investigation that really can't be characterised as an investigation and can only really properly be described as a review. And the problem with a review is you're limited to the material in front of you. You don't have access to the source of the material, like, for example, the maker of a statement, the written form of which you have on the table to read. And therefore, you can't separate discrepancies between two different accounts on the same issue. And anyone who's been following this matter over the last number of weeks will know that there have been various different accounts by various different people about various different issues. And none of them, it appears, can be questioned in a review. If they are questioned, well, then it would be a very unusual form of review, but it is highly unlikely that that will take place publicly. And the one thing that needs to be addressed here is the huge damage to public confidence in the institutions of government in the shape of the Minister's office, the independence of GSOC, which was set up in the wake of a tribunal that examined aberrant Garda behaviour, and the institutions of An Garda Síochána, which appear to be, the further up the pole you go, more and more remote from the controlling and monitoring mechanisms that GSOC is supposed to provide.
So, Alan Farr, listening to Michael and to John in particular, just leaving aside Thomas for the moment because of his political affiliations, obviously, but John and Michael, they're saying this review is simply not adequate.
Well, first and foremost, the terms of reference for the review, it has been said this afternoon or this evening that they will be set by the Attorney General. Now, the Attorney General isn't the Minister. Now, we can talk about who appoints the Attorney General, et cetera, all we like. But the terms of reference for such an independent inquiry conducted by an independent person, an independent-minded person who has, as you've said yourself, isn't a member of the Oireachtas, and I think it was Michael who said that, a member of the Oireachtas or a member of a political organisation, their sole purpose is to review any and all documentation provided to them by GSOC. And I would presume that such an investigate or such a review will take place on the premises, one would assume.
Can't question anybody.
No, but the purpose of the review is to provide a independent report which can be placed in front of both houses of the Oireachtas for thorough debate, and which and that debate can continue in, you know, cars and kitchens across the country once it is provided. And
but that surely, will occur, Alan, within 8 weeks. The focus of any investigation needs to be who, if anyone, put GSOC under surveillance.
Well, I think we need to go back to the very mass conclusions and to GSOC's own conclusion as the institution who were the ones who instigated this sweep, if you will, of their premises. It's essential, absolutely essential, to clarify that they stated not once, not even twice, I think it was more than three times, through the Minister in the Dáil last week, on prime time, and again the following day in the Oireachtas Committee, that they concluded that no further investigations were required. Now, there were certain questions that they alluded to that were not answered in the report, which they were concerned with. And aside from the hunch of one member of the Commission who stated that he felt that they were under investigation, there is nothing concrete. Now, what we are trying to achieve by reviewing all that documentation, up to and including the peer review documentation by the Irish security firm, is to reinstill confidence in what is an extremely important institution.
Okay, a couple of people want to get John very briefly, and then you talk.
I just wanted to correct Alan Farrell on the point about the Attorney General. The Attorney General would advise
the minister on the terms of reference. Yeah. He will not be setting the terms of reference. The minister will be doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to correct Alan Farrell as well, because he did state that, you know, I should be familiar with Section 103, and he gave me his interpretation of Section 103 of the Garda Síochána Act. And he's right, I am familiar with Section 103 of the Garda Síochána Act. It doesn't require GSOC to report to the minister. There are exceptions there where it doesn't have to report to the
correct.
Minister.
Well, I suggested.
Sorry, Alan, you're saying correct now, but I mean, you gave a completely different interpretation of the Act to suit your political views earlier on in the show.
No, I didn't.
I think it's very important. My point, and the point that I'm making is, I mean, it's about the political involvement in all of this. And I think the review, yes, Michael is right, it will be independent if there's a retired High Court judge there, we can be sure of that. But there's absolutely no powers whatsoever. There's no powers, no suggestion of any powers. They're going to just look at paperwork. We have an investigation. I mean, Alan's description of one member having a hunch, that's at variance with the evidence that was given last week. I mean, there was a report given there. There's the whole issue of the telephone line that rung that hasn't been dealt with at all. But we're really up to naught, really. If all we're looking at is the GSOC report and then a peer-reviewed report which has been carried out in the last week, presumably didn't involve a site investigation, I don't know. We don't know. Being reviewed by a High Court judge is not sufficient. I mean, this needs powers. This needs to be real. And we need to get politics out of it, because we go back to last week. I think the interventions last week with the government, I suspect they're now regretted. Renda Kenny and the minister demanded, and indeed some politicians in the opposition as well, demanded that this GSOC be brought in. That was a very bad precedent in my view. I mean, GSOC is a semi-policing body itself, and the idea that they'd be sort of, you know, at the drop of a hat, be dragged in for political reasons. I mean, it was the wrong approach totally, and we need to get back to square one on this, and we need to just take the politics out of it. Okay, is really what John,
I don't think it's possible to take the politics out of this controversy. In the first instance, if the government would decide to undertake a commission of investigation, the minister would set the terms of reference. Those terms of reference would be presented to the Oireachtas for a vote, after which the commission would begin its work. So irrespective of what form any investigation or inquiry is taken, the Oireachtas will have to be involved. Mm-hmm. I think the Oireachtas have not been involved as much as they should have in overseeing both the Department of Justice and an Garda Síochána to date. And I don't think any inquiry should be used as an excuse to delay reforms of the Garda Síochána Act, mm-hmm. which would require the commissioner to answer more directly to the Oireachtas, which would give powers to the GSOC to oversee the commissioner and to undertake investigations, give them full access to Pulse, and give them the resources they need and independence they require to undertake their investigations adequately.
Michael.
You're not going to get access to Pulse. I'll tell you that right now. I've done criminal trial after criminal trial and tried to invoke powers of disclosure in a trial environment, and you can see the shutters coming down. You want to get access to Pulse, you'll need a drill and a hammer and everything else to get through it. And that's the, you know, that's the, that really is in a
that's
microcosm, that is what you're dealing with.
That's a political decision.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. But the thing is, you're not going to, if you don't go to the level of an inquiry backed by statute, well then it's a waste of time. Mm. I mean, you were saying there about the voting from the Oireachtas on the terms of reference for a commission of investigation. You know, good. Let's get the Oireachtas involved, because this is now an issue of serious public concern. And, you know, every member of the Oireachtas in casting their vote in their own way is subject to public scrutiny. You know, why did you, Mr. TD, not vote in favour of an inquiry? I think that would be a very valuable exercise. And, it reflects badly on the decision. The absence of that reflects badly on the decision that's been taken by the minister. And, you know, maybe I'm missing something here, but maybe, Alan, you can help me. What's the point of having a review that can't make conclusions, that can't come to conclusions that are sound and based on a proper testing of the evidence, proper questioning of the people involved in a public way that will give us back confidence? What is the point of going through the motions of something that, I mean, I think you said yourself, would simply further the debate? The debate's already happening. What we're not getting are answers. Why is the government going down this road?
The purpose of a review of the information that's been put into the public domain in the capacity or under an independent retired judge is to ensure that the public are confident in the ability of GSOC to do their job without being looked at or looked into by any third party or unknown institutions or individuals. The various reports that have been provided through Verimass, GSOC itself, and the independent Irish security company who that was referenced this evening have put the Verimass report at odds. Their report is at odds to the Verimass report. So we now have two companies completely independent of one another saying, one saying that there are certain questions about certain issues that we couldn't confirm, and another company saying there's nothing there.
But Michael's question is, what point would be served? Well,
everybody listening to this programme is reviewing that information as we speak. With all due respect to any retired High Court judge, how is a review conducted by them any different to a review conducted by a citizen listening to the radio or reading the newspaper? I suggest to you, there's no difference.
There's an enormous
difference. You can't come to a conclusion that engenders confidence.
There's an enormous difference, and the difference is that the judge, or the retired judge, will have access to the reports which are not in the public domain and which were never going to be put in the public domain because they would have perhaps jeopardised the security of and the operations of the Ombudsman Commission. So that was never going to happen. This process will put the report of the retired judge into the public domain for consumption within both houses of the Oireachtas and, as I've said already, in the kitchens and cars right across this country for the purposes of instilling certainty that they are an independent institution that are not being overseen.
Will the judge be questioning people from Verimass or people from
It's a review. The so latter, what you're referencing would be an inquiry. But can I also just say, just in relation to something that John mentioned, the 2 weeks ago, before any of this happened, Minister Shatter mentioned that there would be a review of An Gar the Síochána Act 2005 and that would be going before the Justice Committee, which I sit on. And that's been confirmed this evening, this afternoon, in fact, during the course of the debate. It was mentioned that the Minister briefed the Cabinet and that the matter would be put in front of us for the purposes of putting it out on
the devil will be in the detail there.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is a public process. And I have sat through, over the last 18 months since I was appointed to the Justice Committee, several public processes which everybody is entitled to sit in and watch or watch online. It's a public consultation. It's a two-way process. We present our report to the Minister, and thus far he has taken on board nearly all of the reports.
Thus far the Minister has refused to give GSOC the powers that has been crying out for the past year or so in response to Garda obstruction of investigations into alleged collusion with an international drug dealer, Ciarán Boylan. And the Minister has been dragging his feet on this issue for some time now. He's been very reluctant to respond to GSOC's calls for more powers. One of the reasons we need a commission of investigation to have any inquiry into this matter is that the commission, that the judge, whoever is chairing this commission, needs to be able to compel witnesses. You cannot have an inquiry without witnesses. You cannot. There's no point in going over this material again. There's no, I don't see any reference to a budget for this inquiry or this review. Without a proper budget, you cannot afford to bring in the experts to advise the judge or to advise the commission.
To be fair, it was only announced this evening. The terms of reference would be confirmed tomorrow. I would have to assume that the matters that you've referred to would be dealt with by the vote of the Department of Justice, and that there won't be an extraordinary budget required. But and that will be clarified.
It will
tomorrow.
Probably need a significant budget to undertake the kind of review that needs to be done by security and forensic experts.
Okay, Thomas Byrne.
Yeah, I mean. I just think this whole thing about inquiry and review keeps changing. I mean, earlier on in the day, Alan Shatter was quoted in the Irish Times website as saying that he's going to appoint a retired High Court judge to inquire into all matters of relevance. And that seems to have been dragged back in the course of the day. And I think the reasons have been well outlined. Look, commissions of investigations, generally speaking, done very good work in this country over the last number of years, most particularly with the whole institutional abuse and investigations into the different dioceses. And they've done that work very, very well and got a lot of answers. So I think it's a really good precedent that we should be using. No one likes tribunals, so I think maybe forget about that. But the Commission of Investigation are very good. Fianna Fáil today published a bill to increase the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission's powers, and including one section just to allow access to the Pulse system. I mean, and if the political will is there, that can be brought in relatively simply. I mean, it's not a complicated thing to do, but it does require a political decision, as has been said here.
I mean, the political will has not been there. It never has been there. I mean, we maybe we can assume that resources will be provided for this review, for that is all it is. But no one should ever assume that the political will is there to grant proper statutory or civilian oversight of An Garda Síochána. No government has done it. No minister, frankly, has had the balls to take the guards on. And certainly the current minister hasn't. He balked and fudged the penalty points issue. And I think that has been demonstrated as a serious mistake. And he hasn't handled this issue well either. But it points to a deeper malaise. And that is that no government, no bunch of politicians have really been prepared to put in place an institution or an organisation backed by proper statutory powers that will provide full civilian oversight of An Garda Síochána. It simply doesn't happen. And it's one great lacuna in the fabric of this democracy. And, that's grand-sounding rhetoric. But we have already had a tribunal of inquiry, the Morris Tribunal, which uncovered all manner of misconduct by An Garda Síochána, including framing people for things that they didn't do and sending them to prison for crimes they didn't commit. And still, the government of the day, be it Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, they're both pretty much the same, wouldn't take on the guards. And it has not changed. And until that attitude changes, until you really get a bunch of civilian politicians who are prepared to take on the police, you're going to be left with mess after mess after mess.
Alan Farrell.
Well, access to Pulse was actually referred to in this evening's speech in terms of GSOC's ability to conduct inquiries into the operation of An Garda Síochána, which is their duty. It stated quite categorically that there was, I understand, superintendent-level access to Pulse, but thereafter there will, in fact, with the amendments to the 2005 Garda Síochána Act that I mentioned earlier, that will be going to the Justice Committee shortly, there will be additional powers, a beefing up, if you will, of GSOC as an organisation to give it more authority and to provide it with Pulse system access in future investigations. So that was stated quite clearly on the record. But I just wanted to reference...
Is that unfettered access to Pulse?
Well, I mean, I can read this section here to you, Michael. He said, Minister Shatter said that he took steps to necessary to ensure that in the context of the GSOC investigation into the fixed ticket charge, which you mentioned, that it would have access
to the Pulse system,
and it stated that it would have such access in other future investigations. Today it was agreed by the Cabinet, which was referred to in the audio you played at the start, that the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Justice would seek... amendments to be made to the 2005 Act with regard to GSOC in advance of the Minister's finalising of the proposals to be brought to Cabinet at a date in the future. And he effectively stated then that this was hardly somebody who wanted to undermine GSOC or undermine the independence of GSOC wouldn't do that. Clearly, that's not the modus operandi.
Sorry, just so I understand, does that mean the minister is going to propose an amendment to the 2005 Act that will give GSOC complete and unfettered access to Pulse?
You're using very specific language, as you should as a solicitor, in regards to unfettered access. He does not say that. The amendments have not been drawn up yet because they haven't gone before the Oireachtas Committee. So I don't want to put...
Can I give you the wording that we're proposing?
Well, the Commissioner has said they can't have that. Is the Minister going to say...
The Commissioner, with the greatest respect, isn't a decision maker in this matter.
No,
the
he's
minister
not. But,
is, and the Oireachtas
but
is.
You see, the problem is the impression that everyone has, certainly the impression I have, and I don't think I'm alone, is that the Commissioner of An Garda Síochána might as well be the decision maker.
I would refute that.
Just to very obviously. To make a couple of points. The wording that Fianna Fáil is proposing in relation to the Pulse is to allow the power to search the Pulse system, we would give it its full title, for any purpose relevant to the investigation being conducted by the designated officer of the Ombudsman Commission. And I have to say, in relation to Michael, I mean, Michael is talking about standing up to the police. I don't think it's about that at all. I think it's about having proper oversight, as any body has a solicitor's body, or, you know, politicians have an oversight body as well in SIPO. And every job needs that these days, with the teaching council as well. So we've got to get that mindset right, I think, as well. It's not about, it shouldn't be about standing up to the guards. It should also be remembered that the 2005 Act, that I think Michael has been critical of, I mean, it does give full police powers to the, or very strong police powers to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission. They are effectively a police force in the job that they do. They have powers of arrest and powers of search, etc. So they have very, very strong powers already, and clearly there are gaps and they need to be addressed. And the bill
they
we've
have
written
very limited powers of arrest and even more limited powers of search. I mean, don't be dressing them up as some kind of internal
department. Well, they are police
department.
Powers that
they
have.
Are not. They are akin to police powers. They are not police officers, and they don't act or operate as police officers, and they are subservient to the police force. That's the problem.
And that's, I suppose, the point in putting forward amendments, Michael and Thomas, in making sure, with the greatest respect, you have your document in front of you. The Act, which will...
I have a copy of the Act that you're quoting from, and my own bill that we've published today in front of me.
The bill that will be put before the Oireachtas Committee, which we will then make recommendations to the minister, will go before the cabinet and will form part of substantial changes to the Act, which will effectively beef up the operation and the remit of GSOC. And I think, to be fair, in the overall debate as to the independence of GSOC and their ability to perform their duties, that is only a good thing. And I cannot say with any certainty that what we're debating with regard to you know, leaks or bugging or whatever, wouldn't come up anyway if GSOC have real authority, real beefed up powers under the Garda Síochána Act 2005. Well, then at least they'd be better equipped to respond to such issues.
John Devitt.
I think this issue goes beyond GSOC and the powers of GSOC. That said, as I said, the devil will be in the detail and the specifics of the recommendations and proposals that are made by the minister and presented to the Oireachtas will determine whether GSOC has the powers it needs. So far, many of the language used amounts to window dressing. The Garda Síochána Act 2005 lent the pretense of an effective oversight system. GSOC clearly doesn't have the powers it needs. It needs to warn Gardaí before they're going to conduct a search. If they have pulse access, it's done under supervision from other Gardaí. And GSOC were clearly dissatisfied with the cooperation from very senior management within on Garda Síochána in their previous inquiries. So those very specific problems need to be addressed. We don't need to hear any more promises about beefing up GSOC. We need to know what the detail is going to be. But the bigger issue is the relationship between the Department of Justice and the Minister for Justice with An Garda Síochána. There is a problem arising from, and there's always going to be a problem, when you leave the appointment of senior Gardaí to politicians, that relationship is way too close. There is one line of authority and accountability. That's from An Garda Síochána to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice rely on all their information and intelligence from the same people they appoint and hold accountable. Mm-hmm. That relationship is unhealthy, and we need to see either a separate policing body, as there is in Northern Ireland, established, or direct accountability by the commissioner.
That's a fair point, isn't it,
Oireachtas?
I suppose it's something that I haven't really given an awful lot of thought to, if I'm quite honest with you. I think it perhaps is necessary for us to review, you know, the appointment for instance, we are reviewing the appointment of the judiciary at the moment, and that will be something that I think would be of interest to Transparency International. But also, if the amendments to the 2005 Act, I don't think the Garda Commissioner's appointment or high-ranking Garda members are made in the 2005 Act. I'd have to check that.
Superintendent up.
Superintendent up, okay. Yeah. But perhaps as part of the review process, within the committee, that is something that we can look at. I know, for instance, I spoke to the chairman this evening, David Stanton, Fine Gael TD in Cork, who mentioned that, you know, this was something that he was looking forward to looking at. I mentioned it to him last week when this matter came before the Dáil, when Minister Shatter took to his feet, that I knew this was going to end up before the Public Service Oversight and Petitions Committee, and I personally felt that that was wrong, that although their duty is to speak with ombudspersons right across the spectrum of society, the fact that we would be reviewing a very specific act, the Garda Síochána Act, meant that I thought it was better placed back in the Justice Committee, which is now where it has ended up. I don't know if it's possible, Audrey, with the time that's left, just to address the issue, and I think it's a fundamental point that we perhaps skipped over, is the source of the information that is now in the public domain. The leak, I think, is a very significant matter.
You still think that's very important?
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, how can the public have credibility? How can the public have credibility? That is not a political point.
It was a very strong political point all last week from the entire Fine Gael party.
My point is very, very simple. How can the public have confidence in the Garda Service Ombudsman Commission if the information emanated from them? And while there might have been lines, in between lines filled in with regard to Taoiseach's own statements with regard to, you know, the Garda Síochána not being involved, if the information is limited to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, and the next thing it's in a Sunday paper, I think the questions have to be asked.
Can I just ask, Alan, would you have similar concerns about leaks coming from Irish Water, CRC? Did you have any concerns when a leak came from the Garda Síochána, which led to the exposure of an attempt by a serving minister to influence a Garda investigation?
I think this is Trevor a Sargent. Hugely important matter, if you can bear with me. I think this is a hugely important matter because this is an ombudsman. This is supposed to be a body that reviews a very important arm of the state.
Did you have the same concern over the leak of Claire Daly's arrest to the papers last year?
Persistent use by Garda Síochána of its press office to leak information or provide information on a regular basis.
I'm talking about the unnamed Garda source, which so many journalists in this state depend on.
You're talking about the ombudsman in the context of this whole thing. We could talk about the minister, the fact that he's eventually got round to establishing a review of the whole thing.
And
it's only on the basis of public pressure for the last number of weeks that have forced him to do something that he didn't want to do, and that his default reaction at the outset was to rail against.
How can you make that statement that he didn't want to do it when he said it two weeks ago before this matter even came to public?
He didn't establish a review several weeks ago. The first thing he did was criticise the Ombudsman Commission. That's all he did on the airwaves.
You're talking about something that happened after we got into the public domain. 2 weeks ago, before any of this incident went into the public domain, the minister said he was reviewing the 2005 Garda Síochána Act with regard to the powers of Taoiseach. And what I said earlier on was that the purpose of putting forward that those amendments that will be made in the future is ensuring that Taoiseach have the real authority to conduct their business.
Which is a separate issue.
Leaking,
then you went on to leaking
was
and you had a go at
you
got
to
go at the
Ombudsman
Commission and you're completely over you did have a go at them and you're completely
the
overlooking the actions of your government.
An internal
and
report
your minister.
Which ended up in the public domain from a very small institution on Abbey Street.
Can you explain why that is such a big issue? I mean,
do we have leaks from the Children's Ombudsman Commission, for instance? If you had a leak about wrongdoing or mismanagement or waste at Irish Water,
would you have the same concerns?
If a leak came from a very significant institution such as an ombudsman, I have stated twice now that I would have very serious concerns. If a leak came from a state institution or from a individual member of Éireann Garda Síochána who presumably leaked such information that was referenced by yourself and by Michael into the public domain previously as regards penalty points, etc., That's a different matter altogether. There's a disciplinary process for those individuals within their own body.
So you're telling us the leak is more important than the fact that the GSOC believed that it was under surveillance.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Beyond disrepute. They should be above all other institutions.
Are you saying that the leak of the fact that the GSOC, that GSOC management believed they were under surveillance was worse than the fact that they may have been under surveillance?
No, that's not what I've said at all.
That's what you seem to be saying.
No, it's not.
If your focus
you're
is the leak
words in my mouth,
and not
John.
The fact that that GSOC believed they were under surveillance, then one can conclude that you believe that the leak is the big issue here.
No, that's not what
I'm saying.
Your
party colleague Michelle Mulhern made that point earlier on.
That's not what I've said at all.
Last week.
I'm making the point that if such a significant institution, such as the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, commissions a report internally, finds that their own conclusions and decisions that not to pursue the matter any further ends up in the public domain, because presumably somebody either internally
Alan has said this is his personal view, and I accept that, but it is also the personal view of every Fine Gael backbencher that has come on the airwaves in the last week, and I have to say it's hard to believe that this line has been read out again tonight or has been expressed tonight. I mean, it was totally discredited last week. We now have the government all at sea again, setting up this review.
Just
inquiry,
because you say
I don't
it
doesn't
know
what
make
it is.
It's discredited, Thomas.
It is discredited because now it's come back up when the going gets a bit tough, when we don't know what the powers of this inquiry are, this review are, when we don't know what the outcome will be, we don't know what will happen, what result will be. We're now back, let's find the leak. There are leaks happening every day of the week. When the Anglo tapes were leaked, Fine Gael TDs were jumping for joy. They were over the moon with that because they felt it would benefit them politically. I think wrongly at the end of the day. But now, when something is a bit too close to home or something cannot be attributed to any past government, even though it amazingly attempted that earlier on in the debate, there's a problem with the leak.
Well, someone has texted, the cabinet is small, the cabinet is significant. Do leaks from the cabinet concern you, Alan?
They do, absolutely.
But
I think they should be stamped out straight away. I've always said that, but I mean,
but you don't call for investigations.
No,
you don't,
but you tend to find that you know when you're dealing with an independent organisation like An Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, it's something completely different.
Maybe you should be asking why they did it or why they felt the need to do it if they did leak it. Maybe because it was the only way. If they went to the minister, they couldn't be confident that the minister would back them up. And do you know what? They're probably right.
Well, the commissioners that have gone into the public domain have refuted that. In fact, they've not only said that they have confidence in the minister, they also apologised for not having put the report to him in the first place.
By the way, I'm a great supporter of GSOC and indeed the Gardaí, but I was very critical of them at the committee last week for apologising to the minister. I think that was wrong for them to do. They're independent under statute and there should be no apologies either way. They should do their job in the best way that they feel they should do it.
Nuala Lone made a point on radio at the weekend. She had a similar point to that you're making, Thomas. She said that she regularly undertook sweeps of her office as a police ombudsman, and she never told anyone. If you're under surveillance, don't go to the people you believe have you under surveillance and say, sorry, I think you're bugging my phones or tapping my phones. You change your behaviour. You deal with the risk of further surveillance. And you don't tell anyone that you believe you're under surveillance. It would be bizarre for the GSOC to undertake further sweeps and go every time it believes it's under surveillance to the people it believes under surveillance.
The Director of Public Prosecutions would never, ever apologise. Not because they don't have concern for victims, not because maybe they should apologise in some cases if a mistake is made, but because under our constitutional structures they're independent and have to be as a prosecutor. And I think the same applies to GSOC, actually.
Mike.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think GSOC handled the thing well. I think they ought to have sort of dug their heels in and maybe demonstrated a bit of fortitude in the face of what was obviously and undeniably political pressure and pressure from the Garda Commissioner, who is in a very close relationship with the minister. During the penalty points affair, which hasn't really concluded, but during that affair, the Gardaí were allowed to investigate themselves, and the commissioner was allowed to report to the minister and give himself a clean bill of health, and everybody just moved on or tried to. And it demonstrates the extent to which the body politic and the head of the police are in a very close working relationship, to the extent that they give a very good impression, if it's not indeed the reality, that they will join forces against the Ombudsman Commission when the need arises. And that, I think, is probably the most damaging outcome and the most damaging image of this whole affair.
I think that it's unfortunate, I suppose, that despite the statements of the chairman of GSOC, Kieran Fitzgerald, both on primetime and I understand subsequent to that in a statement, that we continue to have a week of or 9 days now of finger pointing, specifically to An Garda Síochána.
But you finger pointed for the leaker. When, like, I mean, just there a few minutes ago, you pointed a finger. Where's the leaker?
Well, I think we're talking about two different things, Thomas. What I'm referring to is that we've had a week or 9 days of continuous finger pointing at An Garda Síochána, and calls for an inquiry. On the assumption that GSOC were under surveillance. All the while, GSOC, through its own conclusions and decisions to conclude their investigation, has been completely disregarded. I find that unusual. I find it odd that GSOC itself had said no further investigations are required. They have clearly refuted the misunderstanding in their statement last Tuesday evening on prime time when one of their other members, Simon O'Brien, stated quite categorically, quite clearly, that, he's the chairman, I should say, that that the matter didn't require further investigations. And we're now
unfortunately, when this went into the media first, the first calls for an investigation were, in fact, were from the government, or at least they were the first people to say, well, you better come in and tell us what's going on and level with the minister and go to this committee and all this. And that was started, actually, by government sources.
I think the purpose of those statements were to find out what was going on. That has now occurred. GSOC themselves have made statements. GSOC have gone before the media. GSOC have gone before an Oireachtas committee. The minister has made, I think it was a 90-minute debate or contribution to the Houses of the Oireachtas last Tuesday. We then had 4 hours of debate in the Public Service Oversight Commission committee.
And now we're going to have
another 3 or 4 hours tomorrow in the same committee.
And Thomas, what will you be asking Alan Chatter tomorrow in the committee?
Well, I mean, I'd be asking, did he demand an apology? What was told to him at the meeting? Why were GSOC called into the minister's office? You know, what particular provision of law that he used to ask that? Why did that happen? Is that a good practice in general that they would do that? I want further information. I mean, I haven't heard all of what he said this evening in the Dáil, but that seems to turn the whole thing on its head again. You know, when did he instruct this firm? I mean, was there a cost involved? Who is this firm? We don't know anything about them. Presumably they're of very high repute. And how did they come to their conclusions? We'll be asking all these questions. However, I think it was a mistake actually to start this committee process from the start. It should have been really the Commission of Investigation from the start.
I think you may also want to ask why he omitted to refer to grounds for suspicion in the briefing note from GSOC.
Yes.
And also the fact that they believed there was evidence, and they very much believed there was evidence, irrespective of whether it was definitive or not.
Okay, well, we'll be discussing it again on Late Debate tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. For now, though, thanks to Michael Finucane, to John Devitt, to Thomas Byrne and to Alan Farrell. Until tomorrow at 10, good night.